The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. I am just overjoyed at this present moment. For the first reason, it's because I just watched the Flyers go down in flames and at least they beat the Penguins talk for some other time because that wasn't for the Stanley Cup. The other reason for my great joy is I'm here with Mr. Dusty Giebink this week. How are you doing, Dusty?
I'm doing excellent, and I just watched Josh Hamilton hit his 10,000th home run in one game or whatever the fuck it was. He's on fire today. So
hopefully
we can match his energy.
Oh, they're playing the Oak of Land?
They're playing the Orioles, and he's hit like four or five home runs tonight. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was kind of on a tear to start with, wasn't he?
Yeah. And, boy, I wish he was on my fantasy team, but that was a trade last year that I thought was really intelligent. So, okay. We'll move on there. We will move rapidly on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a rough one. Oh, yeah. And speaking of trades, and now that I've moved on to some basketball here,
okay.
When is... do we have to determine our keepers at some juncture?
I don't know. Not anytime soon. You know, just before the season, we'll figure it out.
Okie dokie.
Many moons until we have to worry about that. So.
Yeah, no, I was, I've got to admit, I was pretty happy with the third place finish there.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a short season. You have no idea what to expect, and everything was condensed, and there were, like, you know, three games in a row, and, like, your superstars were being rested and stuff. It was a hard season to really get things rolling, so.
Yeah, no, it was pretty interesting in that department. I would have to say I jumped in the deep end on that one and came out okay there.
Sure, sure.
Next
year will be better.
let's hope so.
Yeah.
Speaking of next year being better, is that the way you're feeling about wrestling already for the first four calendar months of this year?
Yeah, dude, I hope next year's better than this. This is some bullshit. I don't even want to talk about Raw. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole show. I've been busy today, and quite honestly, I feel like I haven't really missed anything, you know? So,
Looking at
the show review right now.
Yeah, I was going to see if I could pull some small nuggets out, because I thought that there was one that might have been worth my time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. This was the part that I was thinking about. The Funkasaurus comes out, does his usual gig.
Yeah.
And then he takes on his first challenge.
Yes.
And his first challenge is the Miz.
Right.
My humble suggestion in my blog was that maybe, just maybe, the Miz should work on some new material to help get himself out of this rut. Do you think that's a viable option for him?
I've said it many times on audio. I think I first heard it from Raven in one of his 10,000 shoots. Vince McMahon only can see you doing the thing you're doing now. It's up to you to come up with something new. It's up to you to freshen up your character. And The Miz is just spinning his wheels in the mud, man. It's the same crap. It worked, you know, like 2 years ago. But that was, you know, well, I think he's won one or two matches this year on TV. Maybe one match this year. He's dead in the water. And it's up to him to fix that. Vince McMahon and his writing team is not going to fix that. They see him in this light, and that's it. So it's absolutely on The Miz to do something about it, or else this is all it's going to be. Until he's in TNA complaining about, you know, the bullshit of the politics behind the curtain. So...
Yeah, no, that was one that hit me last night. I'm like, oh my god, dude! Like, because it hadn't really dawned on me. Like, I thought it kind of worked okay for the story, and then this comes into one of the matches that I know that he won, which was the match right before right before WrestleMania, and he finally got himself on Team Johnny.
Yes, that's the one match I remember him winning. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but like him using that kind of like the history of WrestleMania last year, I thought was okay. But I guess, I guess even back then, he really could have started to change parts of it up to help out. But, I did not really think about that. Because, well, I think it was even last week where I don't think he was on TV at all.
I don't think so.
Yeah, like, I meant
I don't
to,
think
that,
so.
That was
He's
another
just an
thing,
afterthought.
But, yeah. He's more of an afterthought than the tag team division at this point, which is an impressive spot to put yourself in.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I can tell you about the tag division is that I still want to touch Rosa Mendez, and I plan on accomplishing that before I die. That's all I know.
That is a very good goal to have in life, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, that's just one thing about the about the whole division. So, yeah. Paper thin, my knowledge on tag teams right now.
Yeah, no, because that tag division just didn't get any better now that, for some reason, Rosa Mendez has a manager, too.
That's right. Someday that manager will have a manager, and we'll get about as meta as possible. But until that day.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we can only have one set of Mexicans that dress like Mexicans. So AW dresses them up a little bit, and since the stereotypes are over on SmackDown, we can try to let's give them a new look. That'll help the tag division.
Freshen things up.
Oh man, yeah, that's just painful.
Yeah.
Oh man, and was there? I am looking through this, and the other thing, was Paul Heyman one of the least celebrated surprises coming back ever?
Yeah. Everybody was clamoring for that fucking return, right? Jesus.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Like,
just unnecessary, because Brock proved in the UFC that he's a better talker than Heyman. So he doesn't need a fucking manager.
There's that part. There's the And the completely unsurprising story from .NET today. Oh, we're gonna get a lawyer storyline. I'm like, oh. Like, if I didn't really have that inkling anyway, because it's just like, okay, we know that they signed him for a while. He's not gone, and he doesn't break Triple H's arm, and they don't use it in 92
right.
segments.
Mm-hmm. For him to just leave,
for him to just leave.
He's gone now. That's it. That's all, folks. Last you'll ever see him, Lesnar. Oh, well.
Yep, he's going to go promote, G.I. Joe Italy. Oh, hold on. Do I have the wrong guy? Jesus. It's just like, oh, my God. Like, there was nothing fooling me about the whole thing. And then...
No.
The fact that they're going to turn it into a lawyer angle just, it does absolutely nothing for me. I actually thought for 5 seconds that David Otunga was going to make his comeback and he was going to be the lawyer. Like, that's how little I thought of Paul Heyman being connected to Lesnar, even through his biography.
See, the Otunga thing would have been fun. Yeah, that would have been much better. Wow. You know, some kind of sign that they're not really serious about it, but they think this is what's going to draw money, which makes me weep, you know, openly. So.
Oh, man, I wish we could get a couple of those crocodile tears at the current moment, but we'll have to wait for later.
Yeah. Not coming out. No, not like a faucet? No? Okay. Oh, well.
Oh, man. What the shit? Was there something else? Oh. Yeah, I don't even know if there's anything else. Oh, you know what? I think that was only one of the good things on Raw, just because of how hilariously... stupid the cover-up of the cell job has been for Triple H.
Yeah,
I love that they're making excuses for him not wearing the arm brace to the Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yes!
It's, you know, it's like one of those, okay, we know that your senator was sleeping with another young man, that's what I should have gone with. We are not surprised that John Travolta was hitting on a male masseuse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
If it was Cornette would wear a full body cast in public, you know? He'd be in, like, you know, like, with the wheelchair with the leg out, you know, kind of thing, and he's going through the buffet at Golden Corral. So.
Well, and he even could have done something where he just used, like, a lighter brace so that it wasn't as obvious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just use, like, so that it's not like, okay, he's completely unwrapped. Just have him use like one of those warm-up braces or something like that. At least something to give you some type of excuse, like, oh, you know, he doesn't need to wear that all the time, you know, and he chose not to wear it out there.
Out in public, like, he's not having physical confrontation, so he's going lighter. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't need to bitch slap somebody like he will on the board.
Right, exactly. But no, we got nothing. We got nothing. We got a plate full of excuses is what we got.
Yes, that is it. And, well, since we are both that ho hum about Raw.
Hey, can I say one more thing before you? It sounds like you're going to turn away from Raw. I want to make one more point now while we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay, the last match started in the overrun. You know, I'm just so sick and tired of the overrun. Plan your show better. You get 2 hours. You don't need a fucking overrun. Are you telling me that everything that came before the handicap match was so fucking important that you couldn't cut 8 minutes out in order to fit the match in during the regular time slot? If you're telling me that, I'm going to call you a fucking liar, because I can easily find 8 minutes to cut out so that everything fits nice. It drives me fucking crazy. Like, the overrun served a purpose when it was going head-to-head against Nitro and ratings were through the roof, but there is no competition. And the ratings are going to be the same no matter what. You don't need the overrun. So.
Yeah, no, I mean. Yeah, because that was one thing. I'm doing the review, and I'm sitting there going, and I'm just and I usually when I, because I was a little bit behind to start, but I had caught up pretty early on, like at 9:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
that's 8:30 for normal people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I usually flip to, you know, the station that is USA so that I get off of the DVR.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm just sitting there and watching it, and 11:05 hits and it says, you know, erase, copy, or save, or whatever the shit the options are. I'm just like, oh, fuck, where did I put the remote? I think one of the dogs is sleeping on it. Like, I just... I had to scramble for the remote to watch the end of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Like, and you're right. Like, you know, those opening segments, you can cut a minute or two out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why the shit? Big Show had 2 different backstage segments, which was completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that the one led to the other, but what it so was not worth the payoff, and I honestly couldn't stop laughing that the white guy of Common Law was just some schmuck in the Avengers.
Yeah,
it's like. Right. This is where we're getting our stars from, the 5th tier of people showing up to the Avengers.
Like, you can see the spatula they're scraping the barrel with, you know?
Yeah, and it's, well, whatever. I know that they've done a pretty decent job of producing TV shows there on USA. I watch a good chunk of them, but
me too. I'm a big fan, but still, it's not like any kind of important person, you know.
Yeah, and it just feels like to me that they're getting to the point where they're basically doing spinoffs, but you know, they're just not called NCIS Los Angeles. It's just like something else. Just like, oh, okay, really, just I'm tapped.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, women's match, that really couldn't have been cut. And that was really kind of shocking to me. That was one other thing that, and you know what, this could work as a decent segue to anyway. John Cena's interview was not very long.
Shock.
You know, that was one thing. I was like, oh, wow, that kind of, that was really quick. I mean, I don't even know if they got 5 minutes out of that thing. I was just like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. No, usually he's out there reading the fucking phone book, you know?
Yeah, no, he's he likes to be in that opening segment, and if he's not in that opening segment, they usually give him the majority of, you know, a full segment. And though that was the only thing that happened in that little time period,
yeah.
Wow, it was sandwiched in between a match with my my boy Dolph, who may, come to think of it, be in that same rut category as Mr. Miz.
Yeah, yeah.
And the women's match.
Oh, there was a women's match? Oh.
Yeah.
Same old crap.
Yep. Again, that's about as important as the tag division there. So I don't know why they end up.
Powell has a match lasting exactly a minute. What a fucking waste of time. I mean, you get the whole ring introductions and the whole bell ringing to start the match, and then the match goes a minute, you know? That's what should have been fucking cut. Cut all of that out, and you got just about enough time right there for the fucking last match, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that they even shortchanged that match even more. If memory serves, though I did not write it, I believe Maxine and Natalya were in the ring after the commercial break.
Kelly and Layla got the walking backstage thing and then the introduction, but I don't think the other two did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right, because after Cena's promo, they did have Kelly and Layla
walking backstage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, conveniently, that's another one that if you want to be a history buff, they should not really be going arm-in-arm, smiling at each other like two hot lesbians.
Right.
Since Smelly Kelly was the flavor, one of the last flavors of the day before the black holes of charisma got taken off of TV.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But nope, our memories are wiped. We do not ever remember anything that has happened prior to 3 months ago, I suppose.
My theory is that either one of two things. Either A, the writers themselves don't remember, or B, the writers don't remember because they weren't there. This is a new batch of writers from when the last time was, you know? So, and either one of those sounds plausible to me.
Yeah, no, because, wow, and that's been another thing that, like, writer speculation. Like, I feel like back in the day that was like, well, I shouldn't even say back in the day, because to me, usually when I pull that one out, I'm more thinking Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. But back in the Attitude Era, who were the writers and who was in and who was out? Always seemed to be a big message board and news topic. These days, it's like, yep.
Nobody knows. Nobody cares. And they could be changing and probably are pretty rapidly because I check WWE's corporate website semi-regularly and there seems to always be a position open on there.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely something that I do not do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very, very industrious of you.
I actually do my research. Aren't you proud of me?
Maybe I'm just I'm more ashamed of myself for not doing so.
No, you're laughing at me for wasting my fucking time, but that's okay.
Well, you're not the moron who wastes multiple hours doing reviews of pretty much every show on TV.
I did that. I've already gone through that phase in my life.
Oh man, so unnecessary. Because yeah, you had talked about your man there, Jim Cornette, and wow,
yeah.
I don't know how responsible he is for Ring of Honor at this current moment, but woof.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's just the style, I guess, maybe after having been away for a while, I don't know, maybe I'm just not as excited about the style of wrestling that they go with.
Okay.
A lot of it's fun, but that whole, like having like 92 finishers.
Oh, I hate it. Just hate
yeah.
It.
Yeah. And like even on regular TV, there's a decent chunk of time that you know a guy uses like three finishers, and it's just like, oh my lord! Like, okay, if you want to bust that out, it's your iPay-per-views,
right?
Okay, I guess I'll let it slide, but you shouldn't be doing it like all the time on your regular program.
Especially when most of the fans are like up out of their seat, oh my god, for a two count. Like they would have been perfectly fine with that being the finisher, you know? The first instance of a finisher. And you kind of just burn them out. They sort of like don't trust the match anymore, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's what I do all the time. It's just like, oh, okay, he's not finished yet. And it's just like, oh, he's finished?
Oh, okay. Cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice doing the whole WrestleMania, you know, once a year somebody kicks out of, I guess that is a good example.
Yeah.
You know, where some of the bigger, well, and it's usually, they even reserve that, though, for, like, the bigger matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like some of the multi-tag matches the guys get to kick out of a finisher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they do it on special occasions in special matches. I mean, it has to, you know, go out of its way to be important. So, I still don't like it, but at least there's some reason with it. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I think
he'll do it during a Mike Mondo match, you know? Oh my god! Mondo kicked out of five finishers! And everybody's like, yeah, okay.
Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm gonna go get some nachos now, you know?
Yep, give me a call when the tenth finish hits.
That's right, then I'll start paying attention.
And I can't, I can't wait until I get to see that live here, which is going to be sometime in the future. They haven't started to advertise it yet. They've finally gotten the smarts together.
Reporting that... You kind of sounded like Dave Meltzer there. Well, it either is this thing, or else it's not this thing. Because Meltzer is just a pillar of journalistic integrity. I'm telling you right now that it's this thing right here. Except, of course, it might not be. So...
Well, no, this part, though, always has made sense to me. Who is that? Oh, those knuckleheads would go to Cincinnati, and then they go to Dayton. And it's just like,
Mm-hmm.
okay, I know that one They're only like an hour and a half away from each other, but then like Columbus is only an hour and a half away from that.
Right.
It's just like, why aren't you morons coming here? Like, it's a bigger city than both of those places.
Bigger potential audience in the C bus, I would think.
Yeah. It's just like, what are you doing? But yeah, they're finally coming. So, I mean, I'll go so long as I don't happen to be out of town, which is always a possibility.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to go see that live, because I think the last time I saw that live was down in Orlando.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a good couple of 3 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if these boneheads hadn't gotten the TV deal with whoever they got it with, I would not be watching right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I still don't care right now. Although there are a couple of guys that are kind of interesting.
Yeah, who do you like now?
Tommaso Ciampa, I like.
Yes.
He is really awesome, unfortunately. And then this is another typical ROH thing. And I guess that's another reason why I wonder how much Cornette has to do with this. I don't understand why he has, not only does he have one clown car with him, he has two clown cars with him.
Two. Yep.
It's just like, and the other guy that has, like, a lot of potential, and a guy that Lance Storm is kind of sort of feuding with, is Mike Bennett.
Mike Bennett. Mm-hmm.
And I guess Maria isn't really a clown car, because she is very tasty to look at. And it feeds into his kind of Hollywood ego thing that they're going with.
Fits right into his gimmick. Plus, she's seasoned. She's got WWE experience. She's not just some indie act tacked onto his act, you know?
Right.
There's plenty of quality to it, is what I'm trying to stumble out here.
Definitely, because, since she wasn't at WWE, it's like she's kind of pulling him up, half a notch or something. Because it's like, oh, someone from the big time thinks that he's worth the time and effort.
Yep.
So, those are the two guys that I like, but it's one of those things, just like, why does anyone think Prince Nana has any sort of value?
I don't know, man. Because he helped out Levi one time. That gets him a lifetime pass. I don't know.
Because he's kind of like, him and I think it's Barrister Evans. I have no idea. Like, I've been watching for 4 months now, and I don't even remember the voice.
R.D. Evans.
Oh, R.D. Evans.
Yep.
Okay. See, I mean, that's how much I've bothered in the 4 months I've been watching to even remember the lawyer's name.
I'm a big fan of his because he's also Archibald Peck. He's got a soft spot in my heart.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you didn't know that? Yes.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
You didn't put that together? Oh, my God. Kayfabe, I exposed the business. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Well, I looked at his picture when I was doing the Colin Delaney interview.
Mm-hmm.
Is Archibald Peck. And I didn't even think about it. Like, I don't know why. Like, as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, my God, I am such a jackass.
Oh, for whatever reason, that guy tickles me. So, keep tabs on him. I want to see that guy succeed. He's funny. though?
I guess that wouldn't surprise me, but because they, well, and it's kind of like the Heyman, well, at least with Nana, it's definitely the Heyman-Lesnar situation. Yeah. Ciampa knows how to talk.
Yeah, yes. It's not necessary.
Right.
To put clown car with him. Let alone two clown cars,
Yeah, it's just like, oh my gosh, why do you need this? Like, and that's also kind of like Rosa in AW. It's like, why are there two managers? Like,
right.
It's never necessary to have two managers. I don't care if one's a valet and one's a manager.
I'm trying to think of when it was ever a thing and it worked. And I can't think of it. I can't think of a single case where it was a thing and it worked. Just incredible with fucking Jason and Nicole Bass or whatever. Just total disaster, you know?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I was like, hold on. When else has this been pulled out?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did I don't know. Is there much more to say about I just got half flabbergasted after the Archibald Peck thing. anyway, let him go do something else.
Yeah, he could help somebody that needs it, you know?
If he's as funny as you say is, have him help someone else.
Sure.
And then I'm trying to think of if there's anything worth talking about with Mike Bennett, honestly, aside from Brutal Bob Evans being... he makes me think of breakfast every time he gets mentioned.
Thank you. Yeah. Go for some sausage in the morning.
Yeah. And there's just, and again, there's just nothing for him. Like, he's never in the backstage promos, which is kind of weird. And he just comes out for the matches. It's just like, I'm confused here.
It's strange,
If he's a manager, he's a manager, and I don't know if they'd have time. I don't even know if they put any content online.
I don't know.
Since he's Bennett's trainer, I mean, you could at least have him putting him through the paces or something online.
Yeah. Yeah, that would at least be something. Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is sort of on topic, speaking of online. Have you watched any of the YouTube comments or content from the WWE?
No, I try not to.
Okay. Yeah, no.
What am I missing?
You're not missing anything. I was just wondering. I started thinking of YouTube and realizing that, you know, the WWE is pimping that connection. And, you know, that kind of goes back to our general dissatisfaction with the product at the current moment. It's just you know, probably back during the Monday Night Wars, had we had the online services that we had now, and it didn't take an hour to download a picture of Sonny.
Right.
you know, I bet you I would have spent some time rooting around on there. But right now,
no.
I just, I can't do that to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know if I would watch any ROH content if it happened to be online either.
I'd have to be in a real charitable mood, you know? I'd have to be like, wow, I just watched a great ROH episode. I want to see what else they got for me, you know? And that just, that doesn't exist right now. There are great ROH episodes. There's okay ones, but nothing great. So.
Yeah. That's, well, and not to put too fine a point on it, but yeah, no, I'm just there with everyone. TNA,
sure.
Impact, whatever the shit you want to call it.
Do they even know what their company is called now? Because I don't think they do.
No, and I don't think they realize that despite the WWE building people up and then lowering the boom on them and kind of having a second comeback to get into that upper echelon, TNA just continues to just not allow people into that upper echelon and just continue to shit on people.
Well,
it's the wrong time.
Except for one person. So.
Rude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're related to somebody, I guess. Then you get pushed.
Oh. Yeah. That's completely ridiculous. I guess the only reason I thought of what's his name first, and I don't know why I did Rude first, is they still screwed it up to start with.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
And they just happened to stumble upon him turning, well, maybe not stumble upon, I mean, I'm sure it happened sooner or later. But
right.
Having
but
him break
worked.
Up with James Storm, it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
It got them there. But, oh, yeah, that, and I couldn't believe this past week with TNA there, I think there were, as much as I was hating on the recaps from the WWE last night, oh my,
yeah.
I think there were three recaps of Eric Bischoff getting pushed over into the Port-a-John while he was in the Port-a-John.
For fuck's sake. Woo!
Yeah. I mean, do they think, like, everybody in the audience hasn't, okay, everyone in the audience hasn't seen Jackass, but do they realize that probably a good amount of their crowd has seen Jackass?
Right. And more importantly, that the world has moved on since then? That's not cutting edge anymore?
I can handle, like, one of their movies every,
sure.
Cause what, they took some years off, so I enjoyed that one from last year or whatever.
Yeah, sure. But I would push Eric's mom down a flight of stairs in order to ride a fire hose. That one looked like the most fun to me.
Well, I would like to see both of those things happen. That would be fun.
I'm sure Eric would, too, but... I don't know.
Oh, man. The world has moved on. And
yeah, you know, it's just not that funny anymore. That Jackass thing was like the tail end of the whole Beavis and Butthead, Ren and Stimpy, that kind of humor. And I'm a fan of that kind of humor, but I don't think it'll sell like it used to, you know? That would be my argument. And it certainly seems out of place on a wrestling show anyway, even if it is cutting edge.
I don't even know why I had that first ad, because there's just nothing, like, not even just Garrett getting that much time. Like, there's no reason for Eric to be getting that much time.
No. I said it before on here. His act is old and tired. He looks old and tired. it's just all old. It's not something I want to see anymore. But TNA specializes in putting out things I don't want to see anymore. That's that.
Well, I think we've run the gamut, and you have helped me filibuster our way to about an hour of content.
Check this out. Just like Josh Hamilton, we covered all the bases tonight.
Yes, we did. All the base are belong to us.
Yes.
if we want to do some throwback humor just for Eric Bischoff.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, this is my turn to say I'm going to go grab a Sippy Time beer, which will yet again be at Bell's Brewing Company Best Brown Ale, which is quite delicious in my humble opinion. So if you are in the vicinity of that fine Michigan brewery in their distributorship, I say grab that beer. But have a good night, grandkids.
All right. Well, for Kevin and his delicious taste in delicious brew, and for Mike Revelle and the Pentagon Papers, I am Dusty Giebink. This has been Dunk Granny Audio Number Who Gives a Shit, and we will try to do better next time. Peace.